Hello, 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 and welcome to 2026 and this year of the Expansive Podcast. We are so very grateful for you to be joining us, and usually for our highest rated podcast as we talk about our word for the year and think about how 2025 was and a synopsis of it and our intentions and plans and ideas for where we're going. Before we get kicking off, always grateful to have my co-host and co-pilot with me, Eric, who's become such a good and close friend.
Hey, dude.
Eric, what's up, brother? How are you, my man?
Dude, excited. Year of the horse. We are here. We've made it through the year of the snake and the shedding. And we are now in the year of the fire horse, ready to run, to go, to be fast, to do things. So pumped, man. So good to be back with you on the pod. I was messaging you over the holiday saying, like, it feels very weird to me not to be having these sessions with you. Because even though we chat all the time, the podcasting sessions are different because we spend, I mean, it's already like half an hour since we've gotten onto the call and we talk about lots of things and then we get into the pod. So this is so part of my routine that not having it, it feels weird. Like there's a gap in my life. I miss you. So it's good to be with you on the pod again and to be talking through what's going to be, I think, a very interesting year for us ahead and figuring it out together and taking everyone with us on that journey.
Awesome. You know, my mom is feeling the same thing. It's a giddy excitement for the year ahead. Giddy. It's almost like, can we get going already? Can we get going already? This is going to be such a good year. And I was watching a video yesterday about it. You obviously get different types of horses, right? You get the wooden horse, the fire horse, the water horse, and the air horse, I think. And the video was saying that the fire horse only comes around every 60 years. So we're actually not in a normal horse year. We're on a fire horse, which is extra propellant, extra turbo, extra charge. And so here we are in a very, very exciting year. And just can't wait to get going, you know? And
can't wait to get going, yeah.
Yes, yes. And here we are. So glad to be here. Thank you to everybody that messaged us over the holidays, telling us about their experience of the pod, listening to the pod, enjoying the pod. It's just really heartwarming, you know? You forget. And I say this all the time. I mean, I'm like a broken record. I keep forgetting that these people are listening. It's just you and me in the space. And with everybody joining us, it's really a huge privilege for you to be giving us your time and to be enjoying it and being such super fans. It's like, can't wait for the pod to come out. It's part of my daily week routine. It's just really great. So thank you to everybody. Thank you to our friends. Thank you to our one-sided friendships where you're all friends with us and we don't know who the hell you are. Thank you to our clients. Thank you to our future clients. Thank you for all of us being part of this. And if you have a dog, please give them a big fat kiss from both Eric and I before we get going for this pod.
It's so funny because the way this pod is starting, Year of the Horse and Year of the Fire Horse, you know, if you're tuning into this and you think this is a very typical sort of businessy podcast, you might be quite surprised when you listen to that intro. And that's a big part of the pod for us this year, is that we want it to be really just back to like the conversations that we enjoy having. And I think we've actually tapped into it at the end of last year in any case. But for those who are tuning in for the first time, for those who've been listening for a while, the pod has a very clear direction this year. And that direction is that we want to really hone in on just good, deep, interesting, relevant, authentic conversations. And especially in a world where AI is becoming more and more prevalent and trust is diminishing because you don't know what you are seeing or what you're listening to, or you don't know what's real. What becomes more valuable than ever before is the trust you have in your favorite creators and your favorite voices and thought leaders. And we really want the pod to be a beacon of trust. And I think for that to come through, it requires these conversations. So if you're tuning in for the first time, that's what this pod is about. And that's what you'll hear. And we are really, really happy to have you on this journey with us.
You made an excellent video yesterday, Eric, about so many CMOs of tech companies not being able to keep up with AI. I loved it. And do you want to just tell the listeners about
that
video?
Did you like it?
I did like it. Of course, I did like it.
Just checking.
At the end of last year, LinkedIn told us who we had followed the most and liked the most. And I took a screen grab of mine and it was Eric. And I messaged Eric and I said, Eric, look who my favorite creator has been. God help you. If I'm not your favorite, just God help you. That's what I'm saying to you. You know, this could be the end of the relationship if I am not your favorite creator. So Eric did two things. He either screen grabbed the real thing or he went to AI very quickly and created a fake one to give me that. So anyway, we're both each other's favorite creators on LinkedIn. What a fun thing.
So the thing I shared yesterday was these two screenshots. One was from Andre Kopathy. He is the ex-director of AI at Tesla. He is one of the opening founding members of OpenAI. And the other screenshot was from a guy called Kieran Flanagan, who is the CMO of HubSpot. It's interesting for me to see that these guys who are so deeply involved in AI feel left behind. And it makes me feel, number one, that there's just no way that if you aren't fully invested in AI, that you can feel like you'll be up to date with it. It's just moving way, way too quickly. And actually, the more involved you are in AI, the more you realize how quickly it's moving. If you're sitting on the periphery, it feels like things are happening, but you don't really understand the scope and the speed at which things are moving. And then the second part of that post was just to say, like, just get involved. You know, when there was a time when we had to study and then apply, but now it doesn't work like that. You can't sit and study the changes that are happening in the AI world. You have to go and apply and play and vibe code and generate and do those things, because it's through that application that you are studying and that you are actually preparing yourself to some degree for what is happening in the world. So
I like that point. The point is studying is practicing.
Yeah.
Is implementing. That is studying.
It is studying.
It's not reading a book and then implementing. It's actually in the implementation of it. Look, I agree with you and I think it's a great point. But I also think that robotics and AI over the next few years is going to saturate every single desire that we've ever wanted and ever needed. And when that happens, when the outside world has been totally democratized, demonetized, and disrupted, and all of us have got access to everything. And people think that's pretty weird, but we are communicating with anybody we want to around the world for almost nothing. We are listening to music or to almost nothing. We listen to entertainment to almost nothing. And this is going to extrapolate into everything around us. And so as you are being exposed to AI and exposing yourself through the practice of AI, make sure you're doing the inner game, because the skills of the future are not the outer game, they're the inner game. And that inner game becomes paramountly important. So what I always say to my clients and people that I work with is make sure you understand the future in the simplest way possible and make sure you're elevating your awareness and human consciousness as quickly as possible. Those two combinations. Mm. So just to add on to your video, there's two pieces to that. Practice, but elevate and create centeredness in your consciousness and in your perspective. If you're not doing those two things, you're gonna be taking strain.
You're gonna be taking huge strain, because for you to learn new things requires that you have that openness first, that you have the courage to overcome the fear of change. So it really, like you said, it all starts with that inner game. If you can't manage that, and it's funny, like the word emotional intelligence has been popping up for me a lot more recently, because I'm like, if you can't regulate yourself, you're going to have a really tough time. So everything starts with your ability to regulate.
Everything's about regulation. Yeah, everything's about regulation. You know, like when people are feeling stressed and angry and upset, you're not regulated. You're just not regulated. You know, you're not at peace with yourself. And if you're not at peace with yourself, you're not engaging anything new.
Yeah.
It's so simple, actually, if you really think about it.
But it's so tough. Like that's the, you know, because not only...
Well, look, I think,
you need the tools to be able to regulate, but you also need the awareness to be able to regulate. And in a world that is overly distracted, where you are rewarded for scrolling on your phone and just, you know, dopamine hit after dopamine hit and living into the screen, to have the awareness of like what's really happening internally for you and then to actually deal with it, dude, it's so much easier just to do something else.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've been writing my book over the last sort of 6 weeks or so, and working with both ChatGPT and Claude, and going back and forth, and fantastic thinking partners. And really what I've found the most impressive is just the repackaging of my thinking back to me. And reading that, it has been so enthralling for me to have that experience, to read my work packaged slightly differently. And in fact, teaching me something about my own work from a different perspective. It's been so interesting. But one of the things that I've really been focused in on is I've taken every strategic process, plan, execution, anything that organizations do, and brought it back down to emotional intelligence. And so every chapter, it's for the corporate leaders of the world, and but everything is linked to your identity, your centeredness, your internal dialogue, because we can go and do all the strategy in the world, but if your identity stuck to poverty mindset, or if your identity stuck to victim mindset, and it's a quiet identity, you can run the best strategies in the world, and they just won't come into fruition because of your energy, because of the way you're approaching it. And so it's a really, like I say this every time, it's my best work, it's my latest work, it's my latest thinking. And so, and it's called, have I told you what it's called?
You did, but announce it on the pod.
Oh, okay. So it comes out mid-year. I've got to give it to Wiley London by the end of Jan. So I've got like
end
3 weeks
Jan.
To go.
Okay.
It's called the, yeah, so it's called the Adaptability Advantage or the Adaptive Advantage. And it's the whole advantage of what it means to be adaptive rather than intelligent. And everything is about that process, you know? And oh, I'm really loving it. You know, right after this pod, I'm now going through, I'm redoing the book again going through each chapter bit by bit. It's 44,000 words. And so it's been quite a mammoth task putting it all together, but super excited. And I finally got myself an international publishing deal. So here we go. Excited.
I'm so excited. I think, by the way, I think adaptability advantage sounds better than adaptive advantage. It just comes off the tongue much
Thank
easier.
Thank you.
But, oh man, it's going to be a good. I can't wait for it to come out. You know, you've written lots of books, but I think this is the first one that has a real corporate angle to it. At least, well,
yes.
Well, I don't know. Maybe What's Your Moonshot was also, because it used language that was very corporate-y, like moonshots,
yes.
You know? So maybe.
Yes.
And that book did kind of propel you.
No, it did. But this is the first one that's 100% corporate
Focus,
first,
yes, yeah.
Self-development second.
Yeah.
And this was very much speaking to Wiley and speaking to my publishers and understanding what they have done, how they've done it. And also their focus is business. It's nonfiction. It's not personal development.
Yeah.
And so I've also had to write it with that lens. And also they're all linked to Thinkers 50, right? And all of that is business strategy and business processes. So I've specifically done it corporate first and then bringing it down to personal development and really haven't brought much of my own story in where I have with many of the others. So yeah, a very different take. And so funny, you know, I'm not doing any launches in South Africa because it's not going to be, I mean, it might be in South Africa, but this is now international.
I think you should come and do one here at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should coincide it with like one of your trips here, and it's still worth doing here, you know, and like it's going to be really cool.
Of course.
It's going to be cool to bring an international book in here versus a local book exporter.
Yes, 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 exactly. Yeah. So looking forward. Okay. Enough chit chat because everybody's checking into this pod because of our word of the year. And the word of the year is the one that themes our year ahead. And before I tell you about my word of the year or Eric's point, no, I always go first.
I think
you have to go first this time.
No.
I always go first. Always.
I think we'll have to
re-listen
to the tapes to make sure that that's actually true.
You go ahead. you can do that after this pod. No problem. What I want to just remind everybody, and we've seen some people on social media already post about their words. I saw one that was about safety. And the one that always comes up is abundance. Please,
or intentional.
Stop being so boring. Stop being boring. Be clear. Be focused. And also, and I say this every year, change your passwords. Do something that this word becomes part and parcel of your daily practice, so that you're daily seeing it. You daily you're engaging with the word to theme it for yourself. You know. So don't just say abundance and then forget about it. Because guess what? Jack shit's going to change in your life. And that's fine.
Yeah. And I think also a good reminder is that why do we set a word of the year? It is that you want to, number one, have something to be aiming at the entire way through. You want something to be theming your year. You want to be addressing things that you might have felt was missing in the previous year. You might have want to create a bridge to a more expansive life in this year. So it could be any of those things. It could be, you know, coming from like, oh, this was missing, let me add it in. Or, okay, this is the bridge to the next thing. Or maybe it's just a way of being that you want to have for the year ahead. All of those are valid. All of those are fine. But the idea is that you're keeping something front and center. What would you add to that explanation?
Yeah, I would add that the most important skill you have as a human is your attention, is where you put your attention. And if your attention is scattered, you can't create. You have to be zoned in. And if you think about an organization, where is the organization's attention? Is it on efficiency? Is it on profitability? Is it on innovation? Where's your attention? And whatever you give attention to grows. And so this word gives you an opportunity to think about your attention so that you can focus in your life force into it. Now, last year, my word was sovereignty. And it was all about, how do I make decisions about myself without the influence of people on the outside and really flow into the process of being John Sarnay, maximum authenticity, and not being shy and not trying to play a game that I think people want us to play. And it really helped me a lot, you know? And so we must apply, or we should apply, the word in the way that we give attention to the world.
Just for the listener's benefit, how did you go about like actually using that word in the year? So obviously it showed up in a few different ways that we've covered before, like, you know, going to Zach Bush and one of the first things he says, sovereignty. But how did you find yourself applying the word, like actually like process-wise into your year?
Two things. One, when you theme the word, you become more aware of the word. And so when it pops up everywhere, you're like, there it is again.
Red car.
Yeah, red car. And so that's really important because you're subconsciously creating that reality just by you theming it. And I remember sitting at Zach Bush and him saying, like, this course is about sovereignty. And the way that he brought it in was, your mother and father owe you nothing. They did nothing to you. They didn't even create you. You created you. They just held space for you. And so for you to keep blaming your mother and father, it's not making you sovereign. It's making you weak. And so actually sovereign is the lack of being victimed to whatever it is around you. And then what I realized is that breaking away from my American agent, that was being sovereign. Posting online when things they didn't like and them telling me that they didn't like it and me telling them no, that's sovereign. Raising my prices, and you know, I mean, we talk about my prices behind the scenes, but raising my prices to a point where some clients found it too much, but then I find a new set of clients, that's sovereign. Mm. And so it's really moving in towards more of what I believe I deserve and what I believe I'm worthy of, what I believe that I'm adding value to the world of, and also not taking on, like, you know, when I first got my American agent, you remember, I was so excited. I was in, as a South African, to get an American agent to look after you was the most amazing feeling. And then after a couple of years, I was like, this is not working. And that was sovereign, is moving away from that desire that I thought was going to propel me to thinking, no, I've got it all within myself. I don't need these people. And in fact, they're not even adding value like I wanted them to add value, you know? So I guess it was at pivotal moments throughout my year where I thought, am I prioritizing somebody else or am I prioritizing myself? And if I'm prioritizing myself, what is it that I truly want in this process?
Okay, great. Yeah, I think it's useful for people to hear it because it can also feel a bit like, what's the point of doing this? Okay, cool. I said a word for the
abstract,
year.
Abstract, right.
And there has been years where I've said a word for the year and then I get to the end of the year and I can't remember what my word for the year was because you get so distracted with other things. But I think it's good to know that there's more than just setting a word. There's actually process. There's actually behavior change. There's actually the noticing that happens. So with all that preamble, so... I'll go first.
Wow, you're so kind and elegant of you, Eric.
So look, I had a tough time finding my word for the year.
Every year. Every year. You say this every year.
I had a tough time. It didn't come naturally to me. Like there wasn't one thing that I was being pulled to. Maybe when I take you through my process, it'll be more clear that there was some sort of like pulling force, but it didn't feel like that to me. Like I was like, oh, like this is like obviously my word for the year. So Danica and I have been really intentional with how we want this year to play out. And it's been really cool. It's actually the first year that we've kind of done this together, where we've sat down and spoken about the past year, sat down and really spoken through each other's goals and vision for the year. We made a video where we sat down and, like, for those on YouTube, you know, we put together like mind maps of like what do we want our year to look like. I created a vision statement of what I want my year to look like. She created a vision board. We created like a vision board together. So there was a lot of us spending time together thinking about what do we want the year to look like. I think a big part of that was me realizing that there's certain things that I need to do that is way outside of my usual, outside of where I am right now. So that's one bit of context. Another bit of context is I was recently sitting looking at my body of work that I've been building up over the years. And I was going through my books. That's why I was reaching. So the very first book I ever wrote was Acta Non Verba, right? All about living a life of actions and not words. The second book was Dangerous, which was sometimes in life you become harmless because of the way that you think, feel, and act. But that doesn't have to be the way that you respond to the threats and the challenges in your life. You get to also be a threat to the threat. You get to be a danger to the danger. You get to be dangerous. And then my last book, of course, the one that we co-authored, which was about not shrinking in proportion to your potential and your life, to know that you can be more, think more, do more. So when I look at these books, and obviously there's some others that I've contributed to, but when I look at these three specific books, I think the through line for me of all the work that I'm doing is counter complacency. That to me feels like the thing that connects all of them is that so often we become complacent, and not necessarily because of immense success. I think that's the way we always think about it, is that you achieve a lot and then you become complacent. I don't think that's the only trigger for complacency. I think there's plenty of other things that can lull you into a sense of comfort, into feeling like I don't need to push harder, I don't need to grow. And if I look at my body of work, I think all of them will actually counter that way of living your life. And then the next book that I'm busy writing now is called Power Moves. And it's just a continuation of that theme, right? And so I couldn't think of a better word to theme my year than Power Moves.
Nice. Love it.
I just...
Love. I think it's... Well, it's your best word. It's your best word. You know what? It's a word of action.
It's a word of action.
And look, I mean... I was going to bring that up because it is all against complacency. And I think your personality is just cautious on the whole. That's just the way you are, you know? And the truth is you do live... And look, it depends who's describing it. Is it complacent or balanced? Because if it's a Cape Townian describing their lifestyle, it's like, hey, bro, I live a balanced life. If somebody from the outside looks in, he's like, you're lazy, bro. Like, you're complacent. You're not like doing much. Nothing's changing in your life. It's like the same shit. You're just going through the same process. So you've also got to realize that the environment you're living in is creating a space where that balance is very important. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. It just depends where you are in the life that you want to be living and growing and building. And Dubai people say to me when I live in Dubai, people that don't like Dubai, they're like, oh, I could never do that. I'm like, you got to realize why you're here, for what period of life are you here? I really doubt I'm going to be at 70. I mean, it's just, no, I'm going to be here for this period of time and then it'll evolve into the next one. So I think it's such a powerful word and intention and growth factor. And we were speaking off air about you coming to Dubai and
one of the top power moves for the year.
And yeah, so your year is going to be full of power moves.
So one of the things that I like about it is...
I love it.
You can really sit down at the end of the week, at the end of the month, and ask yourself, which power moves have I made? And part of this is... I've always been... You know, it's funny. Like, this is part of the book, is that when I started my speaking career, the number one thing I spoke about was accretion. And accretion is all about the discipline, yes, the consistency of small actions that accumulate over time.
Yes.
And I think that's still really important. You don't build a great physique in the gym by going once or twice. So that's still really important. But it's an incomplete picture for building a successful life. Because the thing that got you into the gym in the first move, like that was a power move. You making that decision to step outside of your usual routine and do something new, you initiated that entire process through a power move. So the power move part of this actually is a completion of the cycle, that incrementalism is important, but you could also be optimizing the wrong system. You could also be optimizing in the wrong direction. And in those moments, you can't continue optimizing. You need disruption. You need to disrupt yourself. You need to disrupt your routine, your spaces that you move in, your identity. Yeah.
Your identity. Your identity. Your identity.
It's you.
That's the big one.
For sure.
It's like, who are you? It's, who are you?
That is me. That is me.
Dude, I think it's your best word ever. No, that is brilliant. Jeez, that is. I mean, I was, as you were describing the name of your new book, which I didn't know actually, is I was thinking to myself, I hope that's the word, because I think that is an amazing word.
It's also going to be a keynote, obviously.
Power up, eh? And
Yeah.
Power move. Yes.
So,
power move.
Yeah.
Of course.
Thanks, dude.
Of course. But it's so good, dude. Oh, the way you explained it is so good. So good. Jeez, I got goosebumps. I think
amazing.
I think it's really good. Eh?
Thank and, you. I want you to.
I'm going to hold you to that. Eh? I'm going to hold you to
it. I think it's the first time that I've had a word for the year where you haven't had a... Have you thought about this? Have you thought... Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I always do. I'm like, don't talk cuck, man. You gave shit. That's a shit word. What are you talking about?
growth, progression. Great.
Oh, God. I'm glad we're friends and that close. Right. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
So,
oh, that's so good. No, congratulations. Power moves. Wow. I'm flushed. That is such a good word.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm so excited for you. I'm excited to see what happens. You know, what I do tell my friends is I definitely prefer them rich than poor. And this is going to make you rich. when my friends are poor, I'm like, bro, I can't do anything with you. Let's go to Japan. I don't have money. I'm like, oh, can you get rich, please? Can you get rich so we can go do stuff together? Please, man, hurry up.
All right. Tell us about yours.
So, well done. I'm so happy for you. Yes. Okay, good. So I had the most exceptional Dr. Joe event in November. And everybody I've spoken to from that event has had a radical shift in who they are, what they're doing, who they hang around with. And for me, the results of that event have been a move out of my monastery in the sky to a new apartment. If you follow me on socials, you'll see I've posted a couple of views off from my place where when I got back from Dr. Joe, I had just finished renovating my place, the monastery in the sky, which took me about a year because I was doing little things here and there. And I absolutely loved my apartment. But the environment that I was in, the marina, I just felt it wasn't inspirational anymore. And I'd been there for 6 years or so. And I thought, you know, I just need a new... The whole point of me coming to Dubai was to be on this big adventure. And now I've become stuck in this one environment that I've walked the same prom like 100 million times. And I was like, okay, I need something new. Anyway, within a couple of weeks, I found this place. It was a hell of a good deal. It was in a brand new building. It is an epic, epic apartment right above Dubai Mall and looking at Burj Khalifa. So I'm beyond excited. And I've also released a lot of people out of my life and just realized that I just want to be doing uplifting, energizing conversations. And if they're not, I just don't want to be part of them. So over this period of time while writing my book, I've literally used to go days without speaking to anybody. Days. I was almost in my own silent retreat. And it was fantastic. And a friend of mine said to me, that's what they do in the jungle. When you go and raise your vibration and elevate who you are, is you go and spend quiet time in a jungle. And it feels like I just did that without really realizing. But the extent of the retreat was this sort of silent retreat that I put myself on and changed my dynamics of where I live and my potential and all those sort of things. And through this process, I've been meditating heavily. And 3-4 times a day sometimes, you know, between writing, or every time I get to the pool, I meditate first and then I enjoy the pool, or it's always meditate first and then do something, you know? And so I've been doing a lot of that. And I'm only doing Dr. Joe's newest meditations because I find that the music's better. I mean, obviously it's all aligned with his latest work, and I've been doing that. And while I was doing the meditation, my word came to me, and the word is a actionable word, and he uses it in the meditation a lot. And what he says a lot in the word in the meditation is, become nothing, tune in to nothing, tune in to possibility, tune in to who you're becoming. And so my word is tune in, because I think that we have an immense, if not infinite, potential of decisions and focus points and frequencies that we can access. I've got getting goosebumps. And your choice of who you become is based on what you tune into. And so if you're not tuning in to the possibility, you're losing out. If you're not tuning in to being nobody, nowhere, no time, to release an old identity, to develop a new identity, you're missing out. And so even my book called The Adaptability Advantage is about tuning into a new possibility that you haven't given yourself the permission to even realize was there. And when I was at the retreat, the most magnificent experience happened with me is day 4 or 5 of the meditation. And I was deep in, I don't think I've ever been deeper inside this, I don't know, ether. And I feel emotional about it. But all the people I know that had passed away that were there, they were all standing in almost like a silhouette. And they were all in a beige color. And they were all standing above me. And they were all standing in absolute peace and serenity. And they said to me, we're always here. We're always watching you. We're always with you. And they said to me, the reason you're accessing us is because you've been meditating for so long, for so many days, and the environment has got such high energy in it that you're now tuning in to our frequency so we can actually engage with you. And they showed me my past in a brand new way. I made a video about it, about remembering different parts of my childhood. And parts of my childhood I'd forgotten. And again, it was tuning into a new memory. And when I tune into that new memory, my possibilities of the future change. And so everything in our life becomes our incredible privilege of tuning in. And what you choose to tune into becomes who you are. And so my word is, tune in.
I love that. I love that word, but I love it for you mostly because it's so who you are, man. And I think more than anything, it's so heartfelt. Like I think, you know, very often we choose words that are themed based on what we think we need in the year, whereas this is clearly a word based on what you feel you need for the year. And it's not even a need. I think it's just a reminder for you because you are so good at tuning in. Like that is, for the past few years that I've known you, I think that's something that I would kind of describe you as like one of your core features. Is like you are really good at tuning into things. Like even before we were speaking now, you know, like it's the meditations, it's the journaling, it's the like the constant awareness of the words that are being, like all of that is you tuning in all the time. So you are so good at it already. And the fact that it's a renewed focus for you for the year, but something that really comes from the heart. I mean, it's so you, bro. I couldn't think of a better word for the year for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I feel it. You know, I feel we have unlimited potential, and we hear that, you know, from different motivational speakers, and you kind of hear it, and it's become this cliche saying of like, you can do anything you want. Well, you can if you tune in. And I was listening to Neville Goddard. Did I send it to you? I sent it to you. Didn't I send it to you? It's a Spotify. I'll send it to you. But what he says is, if you want to live the life of your dreams, you have to literally pack up pack up who you are right now, put everything in a suitcase, and move to the person you want to be and embody that person for as long as possible so that person becomes your reality. What is he explaining? Tune in. Tune into that possibility and keep revisiting that possibility. Keep revisiting it like sculpting a statue. You're sculpting that reality by tuning in energetically into it. And revisiting that tuning in possibility and potential as often as possible so it becomes your new home and the new place that you feel comfortable. And I think that's what happened when I was walking around the marina. It just didn't feel like home anymore. It felt like, okay, I'm done. And it's funny, before I even found this place, I was walking around the marina thanking it. I was like, thank you so much. You know, I had such a great time here. I really appreciate you. It was amazing being here. I loved it. You know, it got me out of South Africa. It got me into this new world. And I was very intentional about saying thank you and saying goodbye and closing it off as that chapter. And also, I think one of the things that I want to tell all the listeners is I've found that naming your house is really helpful. And it's really helped me think about where I am in my life. And the new place that I live in is called the Launchpad. And where I was living was called the Monastery in the Sky. And the energy between the Launchpad and the Monastery in the Sky, think about it. I mean, just think about the words.
And no, I mean, vastly different.
Vastly different, but necessary to have had the time of peace, the time of silence in the monastery to launch. And so I've come out of the monastery and now I'm in the launch pad and now we're getting going. 2026.
Two things just from my side in closing. One is a different word for tune in could have been align, because you're aligning yourself. But it's funny because I think tune in actually speaks at a much deeper level to the same thing which alignment would do. Alignment feels quite superficial actually when I listen to the way that you describe tuning in. Just difference, like it, one feels more head, one feels more heart. That's number one. Number two is tuning in at its very core requires that you have at least some level of clarity, right? Because you, like you just said, you need to kind of know, pack up the suitcase, pack your identity into it so you know what the new one is. So you need to know what you should be tuning into. What would you say to someone who feels like they don't have that clarity on what they should be tuning into yet? Like if you're not sure what that vision of the future is, or you're not sure what that identity should be, what would you say they should be tuning into?
Look, it really depends at which level of consciousness you're coming from. Some people have a lot of healing to do, and a lot of the things that they think is their mission and purpose is very much based on a lot of pain that they have. And to heal that pain. So if you've got a lot of trauma, you have to fix that first. But ultimately, the equation is always the same, is let your curiosity lead you. Not your fear, your pain, your stress. Let your curiosity lead you. And when your curiosity leads you, it ultimately leads you towards who it is that you want to be. Because your curiosity is built in a very unique fingerprint kind of way. Whereas your curiosity is very, very specific to you. And when you follow that curiosity through following the emotions of excitement, and excitement and curiosity are very intertwined, because when you're following things that are exciting and are making you come alive, you're always in the best version of yourself because you're always energized about what you're discovering. And that always leads you towards that clarity. And I also got to say, clarity is not a destination. It's a practice. Because we often think that, okay, I've now reached what I want to be and then I'm driving for it. No, it's moving. It's always moving. The destination's always moving. It's not one destination. And so I think first we have to realize that clarity is not a destination, it's a practice. And if it's a practice, the tools behind that practice are excitement and curiosity. If you've healed enough and that the healing is not the thing that's driving it. But, you know, in saying that, and I'm just thinking out loud here, is your curiosity would lead you to the healing, I would imagine, because your curiosity is that much more intelligent. You know, it comes from this deep subconscious space where, And it's really 90% of our personality is really driven by the subconscious patterning. And so allowing that curiosity to lead you towards the healing and then maybe towards the next step of finding what it is that is here to make you come alive. And look, again, it's a continuously moving target. And I think that's important to keep in mind, is that you haven't arrived and then that's it. If that is your case, you're actually going backwards, because you can't now. Eric from 3 years ago is a very different Eric to this year. And he's got different dreams and aspirations. His clarity is very different for this year. And I imagine by half year through the year, you might have different clarity. So that's also fine, you know?
I've always thought about it as you walking down a street where it's pitch dark and all you have is a flashlight in your hand. And like, so all you can see is really what's right in front of you right now. And that's the clarity that you might have. And then maybe along the way, one or two of the streetlights come on because it becomes a bit clearer about like, oh, this is what I want to do, or this is who I want to be. And it might not be full clarity about your entire life, but it might be like, oh, okay, I know like at least there's one goal that I'm very clear on that I want to achieve. Okay, cool. Streetlight comes on, but more light around you. But you are still just mostly walking with a flashlight in the dark, trying to find the next step. That's what most of clarity feels like to me. One thing I'll also just add to it is I wish more people would meditate and not expect that much from meditation, but just start the practice of it and start seeing what comes from doing it. Because honestly, some of my best ideas that I've had for what I want to practically do has come out of meditation. And it's come out of the meditations where I would least expect it. And it's not even that I'm doing a very intense meditation. What I've been doing lately is I found this like amazing playlist on YouTube Music. So I'll put that on and I'll just sit and I'll go through like a Joe Dispenza type meditation, but without him talking about it. So just thinking about like the vision for the future, that kind of thing. And it's amazing what pops into your mind. It's amazing when you are trying to focus like that in a meditation session, senses blocked out, just deep in your mind. It's amazing what presents to you and things that you didn't think of or a connection that you didn't make. So in a way, it's like, it can be quite cerebral. It's like you're like problem solving without even thinking that you're problem solving. You finding opportunity without you thinking about opportunity. And so it's a great way, and it feels counterintuitive, because the way that you would think about clarity is I need to think more, whiteboard more. And I've been guilty of all of those things. More whiteboarding, more mind mapping, more like on a whiteboard talking about things. Whereas actually so much clarity comes from you just sitting down and stripping away your senses and just really spending time with your mind in a very slow, deep way.
So wise of you to say that. And you know what that gets me to think is how much information is coming at us that we are not hearing, that we are not seeing, that we're not tapping into. And the best example for me is dogs and plants. Many, many, many years ago, we were so dense in our energy and focus that we didn't realize the amount of value dogs had for us. And now that we've slowed down and consciousness has raised, we start to see deeper and deeper into their value. And then you start to look at plants and how plants are engaging with us and reacting to us. And you watch Dr. Zach Bush's videos on the research they've done around plants, where one of the things he said is that they've now picked up that when you come into a 2,000 meter radius of your plant, it starts emitting different energy. And so you realize that even dogs, you know, 5 minutes before you come home, dogs already know. In fact, they say the minute you decide to leave where you are on your way home, dog knows. And so they're tapping into this energetic stream that we don't have access to because our brains are so busy being busy that we have got a gazillion different information fields coming at us that we are not quiet enough or still enough to just listen to and to hear. And so what you're doing is you are quieting yourself enough for the field. And this is what Dr. Joe is telling us. There's this field of 99.999% intelligence around us that if we don't know it exists, we can't access it. If we don't create the pathway to tune into it, we can't access it. If we don't create a relationship with it, we can't access it. And so you've got to spend your time tuning in to the potential inside this field. And by doing less, you access more wisdom. By doing more, you just keep repeating and regurgitating everything you've always ever known. So really, the practice of meditation is maybe the most ambitious practice that you could have to get ahead in your life. So well done. That's excellent.
Yeah, I think that's the pod.
Yeah, so thank you so much for everybody joining us. We're excited to grow the pod this year. Our intentions are large. We are going to go through a process of rebranding the pod as well through this year. And it's really going to be focused, as Eric said initially, around authentic conversations about living a more expansive life. Whether you're a corporate, an entrepreneur, or whoever you are wanting to tune in, it's really about the conversations around how and what we are doing in our personal lives to elevate, expand, and propel us into this year of the horse. And so we look forward for you joining us. And if you have any things that you want us to discuss, please do message us online. And if you want to leave us a review, please do go ahead to Spotify or to iTunes to leave us a review. And until next week, we hope you have an expansive start to the year. Ciao.